Thursday. It is live Thursday night live. Ooh. And so this is an Irish show. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently it is based on the intro. That was an old intro that I grabbed. I'm like, hey, we need an Irish theme intro. And it was from an earlier showdown. But hey, it works.
It does work.
It works.
It's Irish whiskey's taking over tonight because tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, right? I mean, why not talk about Irish whiskey? And there's a lot to talk about in Irish whiskey. The industry is really actually in the uprise. It's booming. But we got some lists to go through. We've come down with a top five, I think.
We actually have a couple top fives and a few extra lists to go through. We're going to get into that shortly. But we have someone new.
Well, we've got a ton of whiskey. And he actually brought some other whiskeys that we're going to bring out. And we brought him on. This is a relative of mine. This is my wife's nephew, Patrick. He's actually more of a whiskey, Irish whiskey aficionado, yes, as opposed to Scotch. That's where his heart is. He's an Irish lad. So he brought some of his more favorite bottles, I could say. And we're going to talk about them. He knows really a little bit more about Irish whiskey.
That's going to be great.
He helped us out with the list. We kind of talked about it. We've already kind of gotten into a couple of these whiskeys, so we're having fun. But
yeah,
I know I started off with a Guinness.
I did too.
I think
I had one at one point, but it was
it's gone a long time ago.
And that was cheers, everybody. Show.
Cheers.
Happy cheers. Happy Thursday. Happy St. Patrick's Day to y'all. I hope you all find something good to drink tomorrow.
So here's a good little segue for you, Mark. Where did it go? I just had it and ran it. Where's that? Tamar.
What does Tom have name to plaques? Say? No.
There it is. Love the name plaques.
Oh,
those fancy things.
How about that? This guy made the name plaques for us. He actually made the sign behind us as well. Got a heck of a woodworking shop. And so, yeah, he brought these down for us. We knocked the one over in front of him.
Because I was filling in. I didn't want to be confused. You're not
Sean. Sean, you got a beard.
But yeah, these are really cool. You know, I hope that somebody on the chat at some point in time that's really not familiar with it ever asks about them and really – if you've never really touched a cask stave,
a barrel stave, you can see the liquid line that went through on the edge of the stave.
It's amazing how thick these are. They are so much more fortified than just seeing a barrel, you're like, ah, it's made out of wood. And then you see a stave and you're like, holy shite.
What's amazing though is the smell. Like I smell them from here. It's like vanilla extract. It's just... I love it. It's like potpourri.
Oh, yeah. When I start cutting into those in the wood shop, I do a lot of cutting boards and things where I'm cutting these down into much smaller pieces and it just overwhelms in the shop.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way. Yeah. It's great. I want to cut more of this. Well, let's pause for a second and do as we always do and say hi to a few of the people that have jumped on.
All right.
Andrew, you want to start us off?
Yes. Francois.
Is he first?
Teamy?
Well, technically, I was first yesterday. And then Tamar.
Got everyone, but Richard White, Tamar, Kim's back in. Hello.
D just killed her latest press 27, Jeff says.
Oh, that's no. Awesome.
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you got it.
You got it.
It'd be crazy not to drink it. Who else we got here? Steve A's down there with some little bit of red spot. Everwind is some green spot. Man, people have their Irish.
I love that they play with the theme.
Exactly. On the pre-show, Martin had said during the show, he's going to do a blind against Blue Spot and Redbreast 12 cask strength. Very curious to see your findings and what
you think. Keep us updated as we go along.
That blind, because those are two bottles that I think will go head to head.
So we got Cohen and Steven Rogers and Nick, Mystery Girl. Who else we got?
Kaplan.
Hey, Wesley's in too. That's interesting.
Wesley. Oh, really? Both of them same time.
I hope he went out and got himself an Irish whiskey for tonight. I told him yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Who else we got? Sean and stuff for work. It's shanty day. Yes, it is shanty time.
It is.
Who else we
got? Zach Andrews. Good to see him back.
Bobby.
Feeling good.
Chad. Man, that's
we got quite a few on tonight, John.
Rolls Jonathan.
Jonathan Hayes. What's up, buddy? Peter. Good to see you, Peter. Jeff Timmy's on again. He's still awake. That's great.
All right. Man, we're sliding through there. All right.
All right. So thank you. What, by the way, what's everyone drinking tonight so far? I would assume, I'm going to say a lot of them drinking Irish.
I hope.
Yeah, well, a lot of them have already put their names in. So if you're watching this live or you can go back to the comments, there's a wide range of people that are drinking a lot of spots, a lot of
red breasts.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And I understand if people are just kind of warming up. They got a long day tomorrow. Hopefully, they got a long day of drinking. I get that.
Tomorrow's a long night of drinking.
We do, right.
If you're driving in the car and you're listening to this on the podcast, go ahead and open up a bottle, open up a Guinness. And oh, wait, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah.
So maybe you shouldn't do that. But when you get to where you're going, then open your Guinness or your bottle of Powers or Jameson or whatever.
So we're going to get into a top five list. And then we're going to have a good conversation about Irish whiskey. We're going to start off. Andrew's got some basic information that kind of sets the tone for what Irish whiskey is, what sets it apart. Okay. We'll get into this list. And then we're going to have a good conversation about the industry, about Irish whiskey. Let Patrick kind of talk us through some of the bottles that he's got and some of the interesting things his experiences and kind of what he stumbled on. It was really fun during the pre-show for the patrons. One of the patrons pulled a couple, actually a few of them pulled some bottles out. And I could see already, I was like, I should have warned him that this is going to cost him because now he's going to go and search for some other bottles. But
The problem is finding them. There's so many of the bottles that I know I want and I just can't even get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm. Really?
You got to go to the motherland.
It's not as bad as bourbons though, right? I mean, bourbon, the secondary market in bourbon is crazy.
Oh, there's a few of them.
Okay.
Because we got a couple bottles. Well, I got at least one bottle over here it was a couple $100 when I bought it. It's a couple $1,000 now if you can even find it.
Wow.
Brown spirits in general.
Most of them are going up crazy right now.
All right. So according to the Irish Whiskey Act of 1980.
Yes. That's not that long.
It's not. They actually defined what is considered an Irish whiskey. And admittedly,
that was after the revival.
Well, it's in that era. I mean, when it's starting to blow up again.
Right.
My guess is distillers were starting to go and the Irish government said, hey, yo, no, you're not an Irish whiskey when you buy it from Canada and put an Irish label on it. So they made some rules on it. What did I miss?
Oh, D was on there talking about red breast.
So first and foremost, must be made from a mash of malted barley plus other cereal grains are optional.
Lucky Charms.
It can be what.
Can have a single malt Irish whiskey.
You can, but they're really, the only rule is it's got to have some barley in it. It can be any mash grain. It can be corn. It can be wheat. It can, you know, to be an Irish whiskey, it can be whatever grain quantity you want.
Okay.
But as long as there's some malted barley in there.
Okay.
So it's pretty loose on the mash bill. So that gives them some ability to, but it's got to be cereal grain. It can't be potatoes. So it's no vodkas, but Irish whiskey.
Is potato a grain?
No.
Oh.
We do love our potatoes though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So you can make a vodka, but you can't make it a whiskey. All right. It must be mashed, fermented, distilled to no more than 94.8% ABV, matured in wooden casks, such as oak, but it doesn't need to be oak. It can be whatever wooden cask they put it in.
Any wood.
Any wooden cask.
Well, that's kind of strange.
Not exceeding 700 liters for a minimum of 3 years in the Republic of Ireland and or Northern Ireland.
Okay.
So Irish whiskeys are allowed for the entire island, regardless of country. So, all right. Not contain additives other than water and caramel coloring.
So it can have E150.
But that's it. No flavorings, no additives, no anything like that. And one thing, this is an interesting characteristic here. Retain the characteristics of its raw materials. In other words, smell and taste like whiskey.
Well, okay, I mean, well,
what was that? I mean,
but what does it talk about, like finishing? Can they finish in really strange
barrels?
No rules. So, okay. Because this really seems a lot looser than Scotch.
It is. It is because it's any barrel, any wooden barrel, no bigger than 700 liters. Essentially any grain, as long as malted barley is part of it. There's no rules on how many distilled. It doesn't need to be triple distilled to be an Irish. It doesn't need to be double distilled. It can be grain whiskey. It can be malt whiskey. And they've got they have similar discussions with single malts and single pot stills and malted, grains, single grains, all those similar kind of descriptors.
Let me ask you this. What different kinds of Irish whiskey can you have? So in the world of Scotch, there's five, right? We have single malt, single grain, blended malt, blended grain, and blended. And I had a conversation about this, and I'm curious to see what you found.
It looks like I might have lost that page, but they've got a single pot still, which is like one distillery, but pot still. There's grain Irish whiskeys, which can be anything, any mash bill, any any still shape. They do have a single malt.
They have blended too. So we've got some bottles
here. Yes, they blended. They got blended whiskey, which is the same rule as Scottish. They also have a blended. So single malt and blended malt also have to be pot stilled. So that's a unique characteristic that I think is similar to
Scotch. Yeah,
similar to Scotch.
If it goes to a common still, it's not.
It's not a single malt. So it's similar from the naming category. I think it's very similar to Scotch.
Well, I'm very curious to see if these tighten up at all now that and we'll talk about it here in a few minutes about the industry and the boom that it's going through. If it doesn't, it's kind of cool for the experimentation. Things that we're going to find, you know, you might come out with some really weird Irish whiskeys that are outside of what you would expect because the rules are a little bit more loose.
Yeah. And I would be surprised if they change these rules much because I mean, ultimately when you define an Irish whiskey, you typically think of a lighter spirit. And so the ability to add corn and wheat and other grains in there, it makes sense because it creates a light distillate.
So, Drew, let's talk about this top five and what's this top five defined?
Well, we've got a couple lists tonight, but the first one I think really needs to be defined by something you can find on the shelf today. I mean, there's obviously, we all know, just like Scotch and even bourbons, there are some out there that are like, well, what's your choice? Well, my choice is different. This has to be on the shelf. Readily available for the most part, right? So yeah. This top five basically is kind of something we all talked about earlier on. And like, these are things that you can find and buy. And I think I have a list here.
You're celebrating St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. I mean,
this first list we were looking at was your entry level Irish whiskeys that you're going to find during your pub crawl.
Yeah, that's correct. You're going pub crawling tomorrow. You got to have some Irish whiskey. Here's five that
any Irish bar will have all of these.
Any good Irish bar will have all of these.
Even do you have to be, well, yeah, maybe. Any good Irish bar will definitely have all of these. Most Irish bars will have most of these. So, yeah.
So the first one we talked about tonight, which I think is probably a good guess for most people, is Jameson, right? And,
yeah.
And it's a staple for pretty much every Irish car bomb.
Yeah, I mean, you say Irish whiskey and Jameson is the first thing to come to mind.
Absolutely, right?
I have Jameson up here.
You got Jameson. I do have a Jameson. And it's right here, actually.
Yeah.
This is the Black Barrel.
Right. That's my first grab if I'm going.
That's your everyday drinker.
That is my everyday. I probably have five of those in my house.
Five. Really?
So why do you choose that? What is about that as opposed to other Jameson or anything else?
I cannot get into the level of detail you guys usually go to, but I used to drink just the standard, everyday, normal entry level Jameson. But then I started getting into this one, and it just took over.
It's got a lot more flavor, a lot more. I mean, just it tastes.
So
better.
I think part of this one was trying to appeal to the bourbon crowd. I've converted a couple of bourbon drinkers over to Irish, or opening them up to Irish at least by introducing them to this one. It's got a fuller flavor, in my opinion, and it comes in a little more in that bourbon category.
Okay.
I think it's a much more fuller palate than the regular Jameson. And I mean, the price point on that Jameson that we put on the list, though, it's just a standard Jameson offering, which is what, like something like $24, $25, bucks, something like that. I mean, you're going to find it on every flight, every hotel, every liquor store, every bar.
It's the red label of really? Irish whiskey, probably. Mm-hmm. It's common everywhere you go. Grocery stores, to any liquor store, everywhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So we all agreed that was probably our five, number five. Number four was Tullamore Dew. Around the same price.
Yeah.
I actually like Tullamore Dew more than Jameson. We gave a bottle of Tullamore Dew away at our wedding 20 some odd years ago or whatever it was. But I think it just is a little bit more fuller bodied. It's got a little bit more. I find Jameson to be really thin. But yeah, Tullamore Dew, it's the same price point, and it's really good. Didn't you say it's one of the oldest distilleries in Ireland?
I think Tullamore Dew is, it's definitely one of the older names. And a couple of years ago, they started doing the old ceramic bottle, too, that you can get it in.
Right, so it's a little round bottle with a little handle.
Yeah, it's got a little jug handle on it and a pour spout.
You hear me talking his language now.
Yeah.
Still the same price point. They might charge another dollar or two for the bottle.
It's more expensive than glass.
It's probably right, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an extra $10 if you want to get it in the ceramic jug instead of the glass bottle, but it's kind of a fun little throwback.
Yeah, kind of in that same price point as the Powers Gold Label. Just poured a glass for him.
It's actually delicious.
It's a really easy drinking. It's got good flavor. There is grain in it, but it doesn't taste grain forward at all.
One thing to point out about that, and Patrick pointed this out to me at the liquor store, they just changed their bottles, didn't they?
Yeah, in the last couple of years, they changed their branding, their logos. They went to this, and they went to this shorter bottle with the little neck on it.
As opposed to a standard, kind of a long neck bottle like this Jameson.
Yeah, because both these and Jameson both come out of the Middleton's distillery. And I think they were just trying to figure out a way to stand apart a little bit.
Yeah, I hope we can get into that conversation later on about Jameson's distillery, because they remind me so much more of a bourbon distillery. There's a lot of labels that come out of there, but we'll talk about it. Number three.
So those were kind of the cheaper bottles, right? We're talking about $20, $25. And now, question, when you're in your pub crawl, what are those going to cost you for like a glass?
So I want to get a pour of Powers or a pour of Jameson.
I think those are probably going to be the ones you're getting mixed. You're getting a Jameson's and Coke or a car bomb.
You're not drinking it by
knee. So like $7 or $8, give or take? Yeah. Or is that?
You know? I would say that's probably fair.
That sounds fair. $8 or less.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so now we're moving up a little bit in price, and we're talking more like $50.
A bottle.
And this is Teeling. And Teeling is another bottle that's pretty much everywhere. And they have, I'm not a Teeling expert, but I've seen different variations, right? They have quite a bit.
So Teeling's actually, if you really get down into it, they have a lot. They have some very old age statements. I think they have 30 plus year.
We had a 30 plus one at Jeff Teamy's house. It was phenomenal. I'm trying to hold my not speak any French here on the show, but it was really good. And I mean, he opened it just like it was an everyday, like, hey, I got friends over, we're going to drink this thing. And it was
30-year-old tea.
I want to say it was 38 or something. Jeff put it in the comment. It was old. It was awesome. He was walking around with that bottle with a big smile and everybody had a glass. It's good.
Now that's something you're probably going to have neat in the pub crawl versus mixed, I would think.
Yeah.
Right. More appreciation for that kind of.
Whiskey. I mean, some people might still mix that one, but I think that one is where you're starting in the point where you're getting it with on the rocks or just neat.
So you're starting off your call, right? This is at 8 o'clock in the morning and you're starting with
those breakfast car bombs.
This is car bombs,
the
right?
Breakfast car bombs with
Jameson in a sidecar or whatever you're doing. And then you're getting in the, hey, that's just upper game. Get to tell them our dues. Right. And then, okay. So now this is noon. Now we're like, hey, okay, well, let's
wait a minute. You're sort of you're half drunk. You don't want to spend money when you're too far gone.
That's right. You probably had
that's when you're more willing.
Let me ease back into it. You've had Telemer do now neat. You're sipping it. It's great, right? All right. Now we're past that point. We're into the kind of the long haul, if you will. And we've been drinking for a while. We need upper game.
This is when the whiskey drinkers come out.
I would say this is where you're taking an Irish girl out on a date.
I don't know where this is going
to
go.
And you want to show off. So you start to buy some of these nicer whiskeys.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right?
Fair enough. So
her father's still not going to like you.
Well, maybe not.
Depends on which bottle you show up at the house with.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm thinking.
That's a good point.
All right. So
you're in your next level of your pub crawl, and you're impressing your friend here.
Your Irish friend.
But you want to pour something nice and something with a little substance, but we're also getting up into a bottle price range from, we were in, I would say, kind of the 30s, 50s. Now we're in the 60s plus, and we're going to go with Green Spot, which you can't go wrong with Green Spot.
No, not at all.
No, I mean, when you want to talk about spots, you can obviously get better than Green Spot, but I think the standard offering of Green Spot is solid.
Yeah. So, I mean, for the entry level into that brand, that it's a very solid choice.
Now, just to point out, there are several different special one-offs of Green Spot, right? Special finishings or maturations. And so we're just talking about the standard Green Spot.
Well, yeah. So what about Green Spot makes it better than what we've already talked about?
It's just gooder.
Boom. No, I mean, are you expecting depth of palate? Is there more barrel influence? Is the distillate cleaner? What do we know? What's different about the spots versus the others?
Yeah, I think I'm not an expert in this area, but I've had enough of them I'm a dummy. I just feel like it's a nice clean. Like when I think of what Irish whiskey is to me, I feel like the Green Spot is like, That's more substance, a little bit more, maybe malty is the word that comes to mind on that one. I don't know if you guys got some preference in that.
Are they malt or are they still blended? Do you know?
Well, that's a grand question.
Do we have any spots over here? Yeah, we got a
green spot right here. Actually, let me pull this out because that's on my list. right there.
There you go. Green spot.
Single pot still.
Don't ask Drew to read. He doesn't have glasses on.
So and Steve A in the comments did mention this earlier, that a single pot stilled, that there is a requirement to be at least 30% malted barley, 30% unmalted barley, and the rest is a blend, is mixture.
Perfect.
So it is primarily barley, but there can be a little bit of other grain in there. But
right. So 30 malted, 30 unmalted?
Minimum 30 of each.
Okay.
And then up to 6% other grains. Okay. So you can blend, make that.
So
green spot is a single pot stilled Irish.
Well, so Steve's saying all spots are single pot.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
Yeah. So to me, when I think of like, I love all the spots so far, right? We've got red, blue, green, yellow. That's it.
And then the specialized greens.
But to me though, like obviously we're Scotch fanatics, but like, I don't know, when we first started doing Irish whiskeys in these spots, like the green was just like a solid, like, oh, this is Irish whiskey. To me. This is a very good compromise to me.
They did seem like they came in at a higher price point than their brothers at the same level, right? So like the green spot, I think is 10, isn't it? 10 years old.
I don't know if there's an age statement on that.
Well, they are.
I think it is. I think it's green's 10, yellow's 12, red's 15, blue is 7, gold is 9.
That sounds about right. That's a pretty good guess. Well, we're going to find out in the chat here. Chat, let us know.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming in on the chat. So Stuff of Work talks about green spot is clean and sweet with a lot of pineapple and related fruit. So you're getting more of that fruity, you know, rich fruit flavor coming through.
Pass it over here. What the hell? I'll find out.
Tom R. asked that we talk through why they use malted and unmalted barley.
That's a very, very good question, because I'm not familiar with unmalted barley. To me, that's just because why would you do that?
Because they tax malted barley.
So it's all about the money.
Yeah,
it's always about the money.
So if you use unmalted barley, you get most of the flavor. In fact, really all the flavor, but you don't have to pay the tax. The tax is different. So that
damn there's tax, man.
There's a, if you look back into the history of the excise tax on whiskey and what distillers have done, it's a whole story that we probably need to call Dr. Scotch in for another time. Ooh, to talk through.
I want to come back for that show.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I want to pause for a second and talk about Martin's comment here. So we talked about it earlier. He's blinding the blue spot and the red breast 12 cast strength. So on the nose, he says sample A has more bourbon cast notes, sweet nose, honey, caramel, light sherry nuttiness, and sample B has more sherry notes, red fruits, and older smell dusky. So based on those statements, any guesses?
B is red breast.
Okay, why you say that?
Because
I think
so. The spots tend to be lighter, and you know that honey caramel light sherry, whereas the red breast, I tend to think of them more.
Now, these are both cast strength, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but that doesn't. It's because they're both cast strength that tells me that it's not just the weight of the whiskey; it's the distillate.
Blue spot definitely is a more calmer. My
remembrance of
that's my view.
Breast 12 is definitely the more red fruit sherry.
Yeah, I think you're right. Agreed. I think you're right in that. So, well, interested to see what you follow up with that, Martin.
So number two.
That was number two. Number one.
Oh,
we're already
there. Yeah, you're right.
No, we don't have this bottle. But we have the distiller or the category versus red breast. Cast strength, but we said
I just poured the green spot.
I know, but our number one is Red Breast 12, which is something you can find everywhere.
This is liquor stores. This is 12.
This is the cast strength one,
right?
So we might as well just say cast strength.
Well, look at that.
So it you're on your pub crawl right tomorrow. You're out having a great time, and you know, first of all, if you run across the Red Breast 12, the non cast strength version, it's lovely. It could have filled in here for this.
For sure.
But when we were at the liquor store, they had both the Red Breast 12 and the cast strength version. And Drew and I were like, strength is all day better.
Just give us that one.
There's more whiskey in your whiskey. That's really what it is. I mean, it really is a
good same strength. Price, right?
I think it's $10. It was $10 more for the cast strength yesterday.
So what is this? So this is like $65, $70.
The cast strength one,
57.
Yeah. No, that's the non.
Strength. You're right.
Yeah, the cast strength was $10 more.
So this, nice. So just a repeat of the rundown of our top five whiskeys you basically to drink on St. Patrick's Day, which is common everywhere. Number five, Jameson. Number four, Telemadu. Number three, Teeling. Number two, Green Spot. And number one, Redbreast 12.
Or now, if you get through those, all right, on your pub crawl, and things are going well, at this point in time,
you have one of each of those first.
You need to take the time off, get a little cabbage.
Drink some water in between.
Some corned beef.
Corned beef.
Some potatoes. Something to fill the belly, absorb the liquor.
Bottle of water or two. Get your second wind and come back for the next list. But let's talk about the industry. Let's talk about Patrick and where he's come in his Irish experience, right? Your journey. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How many years you've been drinking Irish whiskey?
More than I can admit to on this podcast.
your dad can't.
I think you're past that point.
You've been drinking Irish whiskey for a while.
Yeah, I really got into it in college. I mean, I'm Irish by blood.
O'Brien. I think so.
Yeah. It's in there. And, you know, it was grandpa's drink of choice.
I did buy a bottle of that.
Yes. That? I mean,
what did he drink?
Grandpa's. I mean, his go-to was Bushmills, but his preference when he could get a hold of it was Paddy's.
Paddy's. So I remember when we were going to Ireland on our honeymoon, I asked my wife's dad, Grandpa Patrick, is there anything you need me to bring you home from the motherland? And he said, well, if you can find a bottle of Paddy's, I'd appreciate it, because you couldn't get it at that time. And so we brought a bottle of Paddy's home for him. I'm sure it made grandma mad. But nevertheless, I bought this bottle tonight. It's unopened. I bought it in honor of him. Sure I'll have a dram of it. Yeah, it's now you can buy it in liquor stores. But yeah,
I mean, there were multiple versions of it too. They started getting in a couple different flavors. I think there was an apple and maybe a cinnamon when we were there earlier. I didn't see any other age statements, but they did start getting into
flavored.
Yeah.
So those were an Irish whiskey then, because they're flavored.
Well,
I'm sure there's we're not getting into the rules enough.
Yeah, I mean, Jameson's has started releasing a lot of different flavors. Yeah,
they
as
got
well.
Orange. They've started,
well, they, that's true. Orange is the new one. They got a coffee one, and I had a bottle of that probably about 2 years ago. We opened that one up, and you could actually see coffee grounds floating in that one when we were pouring it out.
Weird.
They've partnered up with a number of beer companies. Yeah, brewers to do some different flavor profiles with them as well. So, I mean, they have some regional ones that you can only pick up in certain parts of the United States as well. I don't have the one from Washington. I think it's Rebels. Somebody in the chat, I'm sure, can answer that question. But I try to keep up on all of them, even though I don't necessarily enjoy all of them. I prefer my whiskey to taste like whiskey instead of some of the other things that a lot of people are doing here.
I would agree. Yeah. The flavored whiskeys have really become popular. You know, it started with Fireball. But now that everything's apple and orange and lime and you know, all those flavored whiskeys now.
From conversation with Patrick, it gets to the purest degree where you're not really fond of like sherry matured whiskey.
I mean, you really
just want a good old fashioned ex bourbon matured. You want to taste your whiskey.
Right. That's where I'm at with it. I like whiskey to taste like whiskey. I mean, I know there's a lot of push into the sherries and some of the other wine barrel finishes that it's just not my. It's not my wheelhouse. So
yeah nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's fair. So over your journey, you've amassed a little bit of a collection. You've tasted some whiskeys that are hard to find or easy to find. You've got a pretty good little show at your house. I enjoy it. And it's fun because we do stay in contact. If I run into an Irish whiskey that I think that he might be interested in, that's a little bit hard to find, I'm texting him, and you know, he's usually quick to respond. Yeah, pick it up. Okay. I know he's good for it.
Something tells me that's probably a normal.
I honestly think I could pick it up without asking. And I'd be like, hey, Patrick, I got this for you. All right, whatever.
Yeah. And I mean, I work construction. I travel a lot. So I pick up a number of different things all over the country as well for different people I know. Right. And
that's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the cool things. I'm going on vacation next week. So it's just going to different places and looking for those dusties, looking for those places that may have something you don't have, or calling your friend that says, hey, I know you like this. I see a bottle of this. Do you want it? I mean, that's kind of a fun part about our journey.
It is. And since he's driving all over the country, I remember when the Game of Thrones series coming out, you were texting us all the time. Hey, I'm in a liquor store in the middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, and they've got these the whole series. Set. Do you want them?
Well, yeah, I think I got one from you.
I think you have a set.
I have a set from him. Yeah.
Well, I think I've got the, that gold bottle. I think it's Three-Eyed Raven or whatever.
Yeah, it's
I don't know that any of you guys have.
Yeah,
I don't have it. It's I can't even think of the name of the distillery now. It starts with an M. I don't know. I'm drawing a blank.
Mortlock.
But Mortlock. Thank you.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the Mortlock 14, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yep. I don't have that one. But yeah, I'm curious to know. So you're a guy that's more traditionalist in the realm of your whiskey. But the way that the industry in Scotland, in Ireland is going is it's booming. I mean, traditionally, there's been how many distilleries for the last, 30? I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for a while, I think prohibition in the United States and then separation of Ireland from Great Britain killed the Irish whiskey industry. I mean, they got to the point where they couldn't ship anything to the United States, and then they couldn't ship anything to Great Britain, and Great Britain was 25% of the trade in the world at that point. So it really killed the industry, and it got down to Jameson's, Bushmills, Tullamore Dew,
Middleton?
A handful of others. Yeah, I think Middleton.
Barely, and there. They were little ones.
Yeah, and at a certain point, they all merged into the Irish Distillers League.
Yes.
And now, over the last few years, we're starting to see a bunch of random small labels starting to pop back.
And they're popping up everywhere.
Fast.
And I mean, we touched on a little bit earlier, Middleton's distillery mm-hmm. has 8 labels coming out of it, at least, that I can think of.
But even Middleton's is Jameson.
Yeah, I mean, they have Jameson, they have Middleton's, they're making the Powers, they're making the Writer's Tears.
The Spots.
The Spots series.
Redbreast.
Who's doing the Proper 12?
I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I think that's Bushmills, isn't it?
That, to me, is not. The...
I respect Bushmills, but if they're doing Proper 12,
no, they
that's the White Walker of Irish.
I was just going to say the exact same thing. We're going to get booted for that. But yeah, it's
probably get my butt horrible. Kicked by Mr. McGregor. Yeah,
he's going to kick our butts. Yeah, but
I mean, we have a whole series of bottles up here. But I mean, I've got a number of bottles off camera here that things that have started popping up. We got the Fighting 69th, which ties into all the way back to the Civil War. There was an Irish brigade of the army that was
fighting. Heard of them.
So it's an American regiment. But they're making mm-hmm. an Irish whiskey.
It was an Irish regiment to an
American Revolution.
Pause, oh, right. That's cool.
Yeah. They tied back into it, and I can't figure. We have a list over there. There's a couple of these bottles where they claim to be Irish whiskey, but I can't figure out exactly where they were distilled. We got this Dempsey's whiskey here, which is on the entry level, which is a new bottle. It was something I saw and decided to
twice
grab hold of it.
Yeah,
but it's genuine Irish spirit of the finest quality,
blended. Twice distilled.
Exactly. I think this bottle's already out. We got the Quiet Man, which was something that it was a random grab for me. I actually really like this one. I grabbed a bottle. I drank it probably faster than I should have, and then bought another one.
So what's that mean? Come on.
But I mean, really, the number of different labels that you were seeing. I mean, 10 years ago, you had Jameson's and Bushmills and a couple of others that were staples. And then over the last 3-4 years, they've really started branching out and getting a lot of new labels on the market. I heard a stat that over the last 2 years, it's been exploding by about 300% per year.
Oh,
that's nuts.
Yep.
Well, there's a ton of them out there. I looked at the map and just did a straight Google search for Irish distilleries, and there were way more distilleries than I thought I would find. Right. And some of the little bitty pinpoints on it were, distilleries to be open next year or next year. Yeah. They're all in the making. And so it really reminded me of the craft brewery industry in the United States.
Well, craft spirits too. Yeah.
15, 20 years. Yeah. Even now,
craft spirits now are blowing up too. Yeah.
Well, it seems like a lot of people are really trying to get into the game. And in the Irish world, I'm very curious to see where they go with it, because they do have a little bit more leeway, a little bit more play with the rules, and to see where we get, but it's been an interesting journey. And Irish has always caught me off guard with Jameson, because to me, Jameson is the bourbon of Irish, in the fact that I go to a liquor store and I see 30 bourbons on a shelf. 25 of them came out of the same distillery. I wouldn't mm-hmm. know any better. Mm-hmm. I just know the brands. I just know the labels. Well, in the Irish world, Middleton's, you just named them all. All of these are.
Well, yeah, Irish Distillers has Middleton, right. And
but that doesn't equate anything, man. I'm not educated, so I don't know any. I wouldn't know that a Jameson and a Redbreast right next to it may have came out of the same distillery. I don't know.
Well, and if they come out of the same distillery, that doesn't mean they necessarily have the same mash bill,
no,
or the same cuts, or all those kind of things. Which I again, with Irish, I don't know. how much
something like, that Middleton's started doing, which I've never been able to get a hold of a bottle, is their Method and Madness. It's a small, it's a couple barrels at a time where they're trying out old recipes. They're pulling old of the master distillers journals out and doing recipes that are 200 and 300 years old.
Oh, cool.
And then they're trying new things, and maybe some of them go into one of their major lines, or it's a limited run on all these.
Man, wouldn't it be awesome to get one of those 200-year-old recipes, though, just to try and see what they were.
Yeah, if you could only find the barley that they used 200 years ago.
Well, that's
probably totally some changes different. There.
But. Yeah.
Completely
and
different.
And the yeast and stuff. I get it. But nevertheless, it still would be pretty cool. It's like that Shackleton's bottle, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just to maybe get a glimpse into it.
Chemistry.
It's
better living through chemistry.
So we've got another list though that we want to talk about, and it was the next level list, right? So
yeah, this is an interesting list because this is your list. You can't help pick us one. It's the I can't say no top five. So this is the way we were talking about earlier, and you were like, all right, so this is you're in a pub crawl, right? This is whatever time of day, but you see this on the bar, and you're like, I gotta have a glass. Yeah,
you hit a really good Irish bar on this point.
Yeah. Yes, really nice one.
So this is stuff that you may not be able to buy or find, or if you do, it's going to cost you some money. So these drinks are going to be fairly expensive, but these are damn good drinks.
Well, then I need to start off with one of them. Do we have any of them in our possession? Do we have any of them?
We have quite a few in our possession.
What?
Because if we have any of them in our possession, I'm going to pour one.
We have two in our possession. It depends on what.
Let's see what comes up on the list.
First one, why don't you talk about this first one? I don't remember the Jameson Bow Street.
Ah, yes.
The Bow Street 18. So I'm not quite sure I understand what it means when he says Bow. Why do I care about that when you say Bow Street? Oh, Bow Street. No.
So a couple of years ago, Jameson's re-released their 18 year. They rebranded, I believe it was the gold label originally. And then they came back out and they got rid of the gold label and they went to this just age statement of an 18 year. So they did the Jameson's 18 year, which is 18 year in Middleton's, and then they did the Bow Street, which came out as a cask strength. But in addition to that, they went back to the original Jameson's distillery in Dublin, and they started putting them back in storage there. And they shut down the original distillery because so much of the storage for the original distillery was out under the streets where people walk.
They had
a bomb built under the roads, basically. So like, hey, let's stop doing that.
Not smart.
So
way to go.
I don't know that they're still making this bottle. Somebody can probably weigh in and tell you more about it, but we tried a few earlier. Yes.
It's really good.
I can tell you that I've never had it before, and I was pretty much blown away because you said this is just ex-bourbon, right?
Yeah, there's no finishing on this. This is just ex-bourbon cask.
I'm telling you, it tasted like it was matured in something else because it was vanilla, the honey, the caramel. But I also have it felt like I had some like sherry or something else going on. I don't remember now, but it was rich. It was delicious.
So that's a standard Jameson distillate, aged in a different location and potentially different barrels than their typical.
I think it was just standard barrels. They just moved them back to the original distillery to let them age there.
And bottled at cask strength.
So 18 years in that old place or just a certain amount of the time?
I believe it's the full time, 18 years at the original distillery.
Mm. Interesting.
And let's pause for a second and say thank you to DBSG.
I don't have a pour to I don't either. Her, so
it's been a while. I'm happy to be back. Looking forward
to... So you're saying we should wait?
Yeah. Working back to my Thursday. We're going to cheers you again in a second.
Proper 12.
But thank you for that.
No, proper 12. I'm not doing that. I'm going to wait until the next one where I can pour some because I already had one of these and I'm not killing Patrick's bottle. But this Bow Street 18 really is
top tray. Is it like amazing. Information? So
no, that's just a little. It's helped to hold the bottle.
Oh, it's a spacer. Okay. Yeah.
So let's talk about this real quickly. So this is probably around $250 if you can find it today on the shelf, right? I think it's what we said it was.
Yeah. I think
If you can find it. Is it really hard to find?
I've had this bottle for a couple of years. I've not looked for another one. I can't say for sure.
But if you find it in the bar.
That is a really cool one.
How much are you paying for glass at the bar? $30?
Probably somewhere in the low 20s. If they
low 20? I'd say more than that. If it's a $250 bottle, you're probably paying $40 a glass.
To our point, if you find it in a bar and you see it like I'm having it's a worth time
getting.
With that.
It's worth getting. Definitely something you want to try if you have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's absolutely hard to find and worth the time. Yeah.
All right, next one on the list. This one I like it a lot. I think it's mixed feelings for most people, but it's Blue Spot, which we mentioned Green Spot earlier, which is normal. Blue Spot.
Do we have one of those?
No.
Not in front of us.
Not in front of us.
Wait, Blue Spot? That's...
He's lying.
Somewhere else. But yes, Blue Spot, we've done a review on that one. It's delicious.
There was dispute on this list. I know. The gold and the blue are neck and neck.
They are both very good bottles.
They're both very good bottles. I feel like the Blue Spot.
Blue Spot's the youngest, though, right?
Seven.
Yeah.
But it's cast strength, right?
It is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think gold is.
It's young, but it's cast
gold
strength.
Gold is too, isn't it? Or gold.
So right this there. Is.
I don't know. It's right here. 51.4.
Yeah, I thought it was high too.
Yeah, it's not as high as the blue. Right. Blue's higher than that, but it's really good too.
But blue's is another one, good one you can find. And if you see it in the bar, I have no idea what it would go for a glass, but I think that's another good dram. If you've not had it before, absolutely give yourself a pour of that.
Okay.
For sure. Next one, which I think most people agree with, is Bushmill 21 Year.
Oh, absolutely.
That's good juice. Zach, I'm doing this for you. Only you.
You're drinking a proper 12?
No, you're not.
Oh.
What's up?
Yeah, Zach did.
Oh, we have a Zach little super chat.
Zach super chat.
Mark, have some
12.
Proper 12. Ha, 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 for $10.
Zach,
that,
I love
your
style.
So are we paying
style.
Money for Mark to drink now? We did that before. Why?
Yeah, that got dangerous, but that's look at that. Good. He's drinking that. He's drinking the proper 12. He's going to punch your face out now, right?
I feel like I've been knocked out in the ring.
Here it goes.
I mean, all right. So I'm not like quenching. Okay. But whatever.
So,
thank you, Zach.
Everyone just says he paid $30 for a Blue Spot dram in DC. So that was.
I believe that.
That's about right. That's about right.
Man, so the beauty of this chat is these people have done a lot of things we're discussing that maybe you should do. So make sure you check out the chat. Hit the like and subscribe while you're at it.
Yeah, but you can actually replay this. If you're watching this replay, you can change the chat to all chat and you'll see it in order here. But the chat's great. It always is. All right, moving right along. That was number three. Number two, which
we're getting good now.
I will say absolutely. And this is like butter. Middleton, very rare.
That is so fine.
And I think you actually brought a bottle of this.
That is the finest whiskey.
So let's talk about amazing. It a wee bit though.
They do a different release on this one every year. Yes. COVID may have changed that. I'm not sure about those. 2019 is the last one I have, but I've heard this described as the Johnny Walker Blue of Irish whiskey. If it's a good Irish bar and you're looking to spend a little more money on your drink, they probably have a bottle of this.
But I would argue this. So Johnny Blue is nice and smooth and tame and
so
really exquisite. Yeah. But this has more flavor though. This is more interesting if I remember right than Johnny Walker Blue.
Right, but for a higher dollar Irish whiskey that you're probably going to stumble across at some point. That's the comparison there.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
There are definitely other bottles that fall into that high dollar category, but
so there are.
It's something you're going to be able to actually get your hands on.
Yeah, because they release it every year, and it's not a small release necessarily. No. It's a pretty big release.
But they do different.
Hey, Mark, you got a new super chat. Drink something nice now.
Drink something nice.
I can do that. If this were open, I would drink this nice.
Let me see that bottle.
Let me ask you.
Don't open it.
Don't open it.
Oh, he's opening it.
So, like, I think I mentioned this to the people here before. I generally buy one or two bottles every year of these.
I mean, okay.
One
you're
to
opening.
Drink and one, so, one to but, save, but I somehow ended up with four of the 2019. So
I got to tell you, and so I'm not going to dispute what you're saying about, you know, the difference between this and the comparison to Johnny, but that is one thing that has always jumped out to me about Middleton Very Rare is just, and I hate to use the S word, it is one of the most smoothest, lightest
it is.
Whiskeys that you'll ever get. Now there are variations. They said there's year variations, but there's also a Crockett one, I think.
So they've done a few. I don't know if it's still a very rare. Where's that? Yeah. So this is the Middleton's Barry Crockett. It was a tribute to their master distiller, Barry Crockett. And I think you can still find these if in limited supply in places. It's another very good bottle.
So, Eric, you say $200. I think it's more than $200, my friend.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, we missed it earlier. The Bushmills 21 was around $350. I think the Middleton's right there with it. So they're not cheap bottles for sure.
Yeah, the Middleton's is $270 is what I came up with earlier when I was looking around.
Okay.
The Barry Crockett is $300 plus.
Gotcha. Okay. And I would imagine you're probably getting up there on the pour me a dram at the bar too.
Yeah. I mean, the Middleton's is something you have a fair chance of finding at a high end bar. The Barry Crockett is one I don't know that I've ever seen in a bar, but I was able to get a hold of one at one point at least.
Nice. Very nice.
High end whiskey bars will probably have it, but you know, you're talking about those whiskey bars that have 2,000 to 4,000 bottles of whiskey on them. You know what I mean? They exist. So your Jack Rose and DC, stuff like that.
Thank you for sharing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah. It's really,
that's what we're here for.
Apples,
whiskey is for sure.
Light grain. Yeah. It's a very soft whiskey. It's definitely not a punch in the face. It's low ABV. So it's not going to kick you. Yeah.
My goodness.
My wife's got a bottle or two of these on the bar. She really likes these.
There's so much perfume going on too. It's aroma wise. Just. So, you know, Martin, how are you doing on your blind tasting? Have you picked a winner yet? We haven't seen a chat for a while, I don't think.
I got to say, for 40% ABV, there's definitely a bouquet of notes.
Yeah, you're right.
It's fragrant.
It's very, very fragrant, very floral. There's apples on it, some honey. The palate is very similar to it. It's soft and delicate. A little bit of maltiness on it. It's a well-balanced, refined whiskey. Yeah.
And I know you guys have done at least one full review on the Middleton's Very Rare before.
Do you remember what year that was?
It was a long time ago.
Oh, it was probably
Tom will 6 tell years you
17, ago. 17 or 18, I yeah. think. Man, is it soft, though.
It is. It's delicate.
I mean, do you guys see a lot of difference in the years? I mean, if it's been a while, maybe you don't remember. But
I don't remember. But I would. This does remind me, you probably are right, this is the Johnny Walker Blue, because it's light, delicate, refined. It's not going to punch you in any way.
Really late finish. I get a very soft vanilla, sugar sweet vanilla.
This is a dram, just like Johnny Walker Blue. This is a dram that you pour to appreciate. You need to let it sit for a while, but you don't want to complicate it with eating something or mixing it. You just want to, you're drinking this for what it is, and because you know it's going to be subtle. You know you have to appreciate it, so you have to go in there with kind of the thought process of, I want to dissect this. I want to have time with this and really get into it.
Yeah, right? I don't want to eat a bunch of Thai food and try this.
No. It's not gonna give you huge.
Don't mix it with your chicken nuggets.
No, chicken nuggets and
This is subtle. It's delicate. This is a dance. Take your time. Enjoy the dram. Enjoy the subtle notes.
I think the blue comparison is a very good comparison.
Yeah, you're right.
I do too.
You're right.
I really do.
So. Never thought about it from that point. All right, Martin's responded.
What did he say?
All right. Both are good drams.
Sample one is sweeter and punchier. Sample two.
No, we need your results.
What's your result, dude? Come on, dude.
You're killing us.
Which is which?
Okay.
So unblind it. Unblind it.
So that was number two. And our number one is, if you are, and this is a no brainer. I honestly, you know, I'm going to let the chat. What's your number one? And see if it matches ours. I'm going to give you a break. Because I think we're going to say the same thing.
Taste or heard of, yeah.
No, we're not say the same ever. You're out in the bar. No. This is one you can't pass up.
Bob's got the right idea. Middleton's and Shepherd's Pie. They just go together.
Shepherd's Pie is so good. I love Shepherd's Pie. I'm hungry now.
Prefer cottage pie. I don't want all the vegetables.
Yeah. skip the peas. But yeah.
Exactly. Oh, come on.
Using the box to bury a dead cat. That might be overkill.
Well, we've got some people starting to chime in now, so we'll see what happens. So we've got Kim saying Redbreast cast strength. We've got Tom.
Well, they're onto the distillery.
Saying Redbreast 27.
Redbreast 27.
You gave too much information. So yeah, obviously it's Redbreast. We got Blue Spot. Redbreast 27. Another one. You're right. Those are good years. You know, I'll go ahead and cheat and say it's Redbreast 21.
Is that cheating if you just tell
them?
Is that cheating or just telling them?
Well, I mean, cheating because you said 27. I'm like, well, 27
is like $1 million a bottle.
That's a lot.
21 is only $500,000 a bottle.
Right. I mean, this isn't the unicorn bottle or the best bottle we've ever had. I'm saying this is the bottle that I'm out on that pub crawl or whatever. I stumble.
Holy crap, is Ripper's 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something you'll still find and you can still get your hands on.
That's and it's really flipping ass good.
It's so good.
It really is.
That's so good. It. I mean, it's expensive. Yeah. But it's worth
don't,
it.
Don't end your night with it. You want to start your night with that one.
Oh, yeah. I guess your point is you're already kind of worn out and you're done.
But you're more apt to spend the money on it at the end of the night.
Yeah,
if you're kicking off your time, go to the bar and say, I need a round of Redbreast 21.
Oh, there's Martin's notes. We're done.
That's a great way to kick the night off. And then
we nailed it.
What'd you say?
One was Blue Spot, two is Redbreast Kestrel. Yep.
I would have thought I would have picked the Blue Spot. So now I'm going to get some backup.
Yeah, you're right.
Indeed, you are.
So you definitely need a backup of that if you like it that much. Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, the guesses weren't bad either. So Kim said something like Redbreast 12 cast strength. Absolutely. We bought a bottle of that for this show. The 27, haven't been able to swing the price on that one. And it's so gone expensive. Nothing but north.
What's it going for now?
The first time I saw it was $475, and now it's north of $6. It's really good.
So you're talking $100 a dram for that, easy.
At a bar,
probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, if we were going unicorn bottles or bottles of the best Irish whiskey that I think I've ever had, you know, the ones that are the most memorable, right? There are some bottles out there that are just stand out, and it's probably because I don't have that much experience with them. It's not like I stumble into these kinds of bottles every day. Yeah. But the first one, and you actually have this bottle, is that Jameson. That was a unique bottle. I think I've been blessed to have a few drams of it because Patrick he purchased one for his father for his wedding.
Is that carbon fiber?
It looks like I don't believe it's carbon fiber.
So I had a chance to have a dram of it then, and then you had another one, I think, right?
I think this is my second bottle of it.
Right. And so
it's very special to you and your family.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, this bottle,
it's Jameson what?
What's the? It's the Vintage Reserve. I don't think there's an age statement to it.
Oh, okay.
Officially, but they discontinued this bottle several years ago. I was able to grab a few of them when I was traveling. A liquor store had two of them. I bought, like you said, he bought my one for my dad for his wedding. There were too many people there that day to open it. I think opened it for my grandfather's 85th. Birthday.
That's so cool.
And then my dad and I finished it when grandpa passed.
Okay. Yeah. I remember the funeral.
This bottle I have now pretty much only gets opened for weddings, funerals, and
special births.
And babies. Yeah.
Special baby, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I was buying these bottles. They were a little over 300 at the time I was buying them. I regret not buying more of them when I had the opportunity. And I think there was one in an auction when I was checking prices earlier. That was $3,000.
Jameson Rarest Vintage Reserve.
Yeah. I do have one regret is I was naval. There was a rosewood box they did that I was never able to get a hold of because it was really pretty.
Yeah. Especially being a woodworker, right? You got a wood shop. Yeah. That would have been the one that fit. The other bottle that really just made a mark on me was that Bushmills Millennium bottle.
Oh, yeah. Good Lord.
I don't even remember that's the
Tom.
Is
that Tom R bottle?
Tom R. Yeah. So that was bottled.
The original bottle.
It was bottled in for the Millennium, but it was barreled, 25 years early?
No, it was only like 12. It was 19. It was 19 years old. It was a Bushmills 19. Tom, correct me if I'm wrong. Tom R had given us this bottle and it was bottled for the Millennium and it came in sort of like a cardboard flexible sleeve, you know, almost paper type.
Yeah,
sleeve.
Yeah.
There wasn't like a lot
of that was before the
and pomp and stance for it, but it was just one of those whiskeys that you taste and you were like, what?
It was 25 flip? Years old.
It was,
yeah,
so get it so right. Tom Mark. Said. Come on,
it was
that's what I thought.
It was bomb whiskey, it was
really good.
So it was like 1975 bottled for 2000.
So it was the Jameson that was because he gave us two Millennium bottles and that the Jameson was younger. It was the 14 or 19 or something.
That was 85 or something like that.
Yeah. But that Bushmills Millennium Bushmills was.
That
honestly.
Yeah. It's uncomparable, really. I gotta try that one when, and I actually tried both of them, but that one was definitely a standout. And Bushmills has never really been my brand. It was Grandpa's brand. I remember that distinctly, but it always felt like it came in harsher in the Irish whiskey flavors. It came in stronger and hotter and I
more kick.
Yeah. I tended more towards the Jameson line.
Interesting. Yeah.
That one particular whiskey, it stands out as one of the top whiskeys I've ever had. I mean, it was really that good. It was like, holy shnikes. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're like, well, she's gone. Right.
She's gone.
Got a chance she's to gone. Love her. Yeah. Right. But, those are the ones and if you ever see that in a whiskey bar, yeah, you got to buy that. But you probably are not going to see that in a whiskey bar.
Well, gentlemen, interesting show. I think, honestly, I'm very happy with the top fives. I think most people are. What do you think about, like, overall? Did we miss anything? Is there anything that we're missing from our list tonight that we're like, oh, we forgot this? Like, I mean, Redbreast's been a showing. Tullamore Dew, Bushmills. I mean, Jameson. Are we missing anything? I mean, those are kind of the big hitters, right?
I mean, well, we could spend a month getting into the Middleton's lineup.
Probably. Yeah, right.
I mean, not missing, but I want to say that I'm excited to see where it's going because there are a lot of distilleries that are literally up and coming and they aren't even bottling stuff yet. And I'm excited to see a boom of Irish whiskey because obviously, whiskeys have very long, steeped heritage in Ireland.
She says Irish cream, DB she, by the way. I think your point's valid. Obviously brown liquor in general has upped their game in general, right? As far as, you know, we're getting into American single malt. Bourbon, Scotch is our favorite. Irish is you mentioned it earlier about, you know, from the last few years with the whole British and Europe, all the things happening. But I think Irish is really starting to put the pedal down on the gas, if you will, as far as experimenting. You opening that?
It gets opened for weddings and funerals and babies. And my sister had a baby this morning. So,
well, then that's a special occasion.
Oh, that's true. Caitlin, welcome to Miss Rory.
I didn't know that. Congratulations. Yeah, that's great.
My sister had a baby. So,
we have one more super chat I want to say hi to real quick.
I got to let this sit for a hot second. Now I got to give this its time and attention.
Yeah, I need to rinse my glass and make sure it's clean.
Thank you very much, Rich.
Irish whiskey, happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone, tomorrow. I hope you all have a safe and a very fun St. Patrick's Day.
Enjoy. Hopefully you find some of the whiskeys, Irish whiskeys on our list.
Yeah, right.
So you're just saying scotches.
Start with an E.
Yeah.
But if you're getting an early start, you might get to bed. Otherwise, hope you guys have a great day and happy St. Patrick's Day. Hope everybody gets into it. Irish
first.
Whiskey. Yeah. So Patrick's sharing this special bottle with us. We're going to get into this.
That's the beauty of these whiskeys. Once you've learned to appreciate whiskey, you don't need much of it to to appreciate it.
I want to get into it. I want to see what it has to offer.
Patrick, thanks so much for everything you've done so far with the signs and being a guest tonight. It's been great. I'd love to have you back. Do some more.
Yeah, your experience with Irish was really helpful tonight.
He brought a shit ton of Irish whiskey. Yeah,
the after party patron is going to be epic. So see you
hope
soon.
To see you there. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone.
Slancha.
Slancha.
3, 2, 1.